Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Last year, you may have made some smart decisions, and you may have made some not-so-smart decisions. Like, maybe you had a little too much confidence in that one crypto exchange. The good news is, making smart financial decisions is easier than you think. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the weekly know-how you need to get ahead. Sean and Sarah, the hosts of Smart Money, break down the latest financial news and give you honest, objective money advice. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Would you believe me if I said from now on, the rest of the show, we're going to be serious? I'll try. I'll try if that's what you really need in your life this morning. But here's the thing. It's a Friday morning. For many people, it's already a holiday weekend. Some people will work today. So, for instance, my family is working today, all four of them, my brother's family. And then they're driving to visit me for the weekend in New Jersey. But a lot of people are already on vacation. Bob, for instance, Do I need to identify Bob, or is Bob he's a thing on the show now?
Bob's Bob.
Okay, so Bob has Friday off, so he is not working on Friday. My mother is a teacher. She's got a four-day weekend. She's off Friday. She's off Monday. And then there are a lot of people, and I know this because of the kiddos that I teach at my church, who are on spring break next week. So lots of love in the air, lots of excitement, lots of great anticipation. Looking forward to my vacation next week. I will not be with you next week because I'm also on vacation, not a spring break. But yeah, I'm kind of old for spring break. But I am going to hike the Grand Canyon this time in a week. So that's my idea of a spring break. So a lot of people out of their regular routines, maybe even already on the road or not heading to work on this Friday morning. Fancy Friday. We're going to pretend like we're going to be serious on this edition of the or this hour of the show and maybe make up for the last 3 hours in which we're serious 8.2% of the time.
They might actually
be stretching it just a little bit. I blame Manny. I mean, Manny joins the show and it all goes to hell in a handbasket. So
I don't think so.
Manny made this great revelation to us last hour of the show, so now we have leverage on him because it's something that he probably wouldn't want the world to know. So we're gonna hold it as a card in our back pocket, and also we're not gonna speak of what happened at the end of the last hour. Okay, we're never gonna speak of that again. I would just like to say, I am very proud of producer Jay and I that we had no idea what that was about.
No clue.
No clue.
Thought he was talking about songs.
Right, not HYMNS, but the other hymns. And it doesn't matter because Jay and I were oblivious, and it's one of those times when I am glad to be oblivious. I'm so thankful that I am uncool and completely not with it.
It's totally fine.
Totally fine. I wonder if Aaron Rodgers knows what that is. No, don't care. It's after hour. Mm-mm. Don't care at all. Wait, I'm trying to be serious here.
Stop
Why?
Talking about
I don't know why I signed up for this torture. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It is Friday morning, April 7th. It is Good Friday. It is Passover week. It as all those things that I said. There's stuff going on in sports, but it's just not been the main topic of conversation on this edition of the show. And that is just fine. Totally fine. But okay, we'll do some sports. Masters round two. It just sounds so boring now after all this stuff. I'm teasing. This is one of the cardinal sins that you are taught, or that I was taught, and that I will be passing on to my students at Syracuse when I see them on Monday for the first time ever. There are common mistakes that many radio hosts make that I'm going to tell them about. These are the do nots for your future radio shows. One of them is never say that there's nothing going on in sports, because if there isn't, why would they listen to you? And second of all, don't ever say it's boring, because if it's boring and then you have to talk about it, well, you've already backed yourself into a corner. So the Masters is not boring. Sports are not boring. It's going to be, I just meant it felt a little weird to try to transition back into it when we've been talking about, we're not talking about hymns. I'm just saying.
None of that. No more.
None of that. Oh dear. This is, I'm going to actually take this particular show to my students and say, this is what not to do. Don't do this. Maybe after you have 25 years of experience, you can get away with it, but don't start here.
Okay. I'm offended.
All right. I blame the soda and the popcorn and the fudge brownie M&Ms, which were a gift from Jay. Thank you, producer Jay. Would you like to take them home so I don't eat the entire bag?
No, those are all yours.
Those are all mine.
I might be getting a bag, though, because I'd never had them until.
You might be in your bag?
Yeah, those might be in my bag.
Okay.
Yeah.
My family is coming later on this evening. I'm going to make them eat the fudge brownie M&Ms.
That bag's going to be gone.
You know what else would be delicious? Put them in the freezer and then put them on ice cream.
Oh, of course.
What? I'm going to make my own Blizzard. Can I make my own Blizzard? Can I put vanilla ice cream and then fudge brownie M&Ms into a blender and make my own Blizzard?
As long as when you turn it upside down, it doesn't come out, then yeah, I'd say it's a Blizzard.
Think about that concept. I'm not having this for breakfast. I'm just saying later on because my one niece just had a birthday Thursday. My other one has a birthday on Sunday. What if I promise them I will make them a fudge brownie M&M sundae and I put it all in a blender?
What time about are you going to make this? Just curious.
Doesn't that sound amazing?
It really does. I might make it for breakfast. I hope so.
No, don't do that. No. Let's keep your teeth until at least you're 35.
Nah.
That sounds delicious, though, doesn't it? Oh, that's my new surprise. That's it. That's my new surprise. Thank you.
What kind of ice cream are we talking now?
Vanilla.
Okay, of course. That's what I would go with.
Yeah. With the fudge brownie M&Ms.
Is there any other way to have a Blizzard? There's no really Dairy Queens by me.
You can have chocolate ice cream if you want.
Oh, you can? Okay.
Yes. Best Blizzard I ever had, Snickers. Oh, no, I take that back. S'mores. Best Blizzard I ever had. It was delicious.
Sounds good.
It was. It was amazing. This is going to be better. Thank you for the fudge brownie M&Ms.
Got you.
I know you do. I just have come up with an incredible new dessert for my family this weekend. See, this is what happens when we don't talk about sports. We come up with much more intriguing ideas.
Delicious dessert items.
Delicious dessert items. Many of you are telling me that you clickbait on these things online. Well, now you don't even need to. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you don't like the show, don't bother. Also, if you would like to find us on Facebook, we've shared our snack selections on this edition of the show, and many of you are telling us your snack selections. This is what happens. We start a conversation about snacks, and we get derailed. It's totally fine. I mean, just come on, be fair. It just is ridiculous now to go and talk about the NBA. After talking about fudge brownie blizzards, how does the NBA even compare to that?
It's hard to compare with any ice cream, especially of the Blizzard variety. I mean, the NBA, it's only about two games left for each team.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Masters instead. People like Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods had trouble with his putting in round number one, though he said he felt like he hit the ball fairly well. The problem was this was a day when you really could score well because of the heat, the humidity. They were all wearing it. It was an opportunity for you to putt well, and he couldn't take advantage of it.
I didn't have very good speed early. Had two three putts and consequently a couple over par, but I didn't hit my irons close enough today. You know, I didn't give myself very good looks. Need to do a better job of that going forward. Hopefully get myself back in this tournament.
He had a moment on the 18th hole, if you've seen it, where he was standing. So his right foot, surgically repaired foot, the one that gives him trouble and is likely to cause him trouble if he makes it all the way through the weekend, which I hope that he does. But if he makes it to the weekend, he is going to have to end up walking four rounds on this very challenging track at the Masters. And this did not help. End of a long day. It's hot. He's drenched. Everybody was. Their shirts, they got back off the 18th. Their shirts were different colors. So it's a really hot and humid day. And on the very last hole, he has a ball that's on the side of a bunker. Okay, so a steep bunker wall. He's on the side of a bunker. And he, in order to hit the ball, has to put almost all of his weight on his right foot in the sand because that was the only way to get the right angle. And so he hits the ball out of the bunker. Actually, if I remember correctly, flew the green and he went into another bunker. Something, yeah, it was a rough situation. Something like we would do, right? Saturday morning hackers. And so it was tough. But the worst part is that he was putting all his weight on that surgically repaired right foot. And so afterwards, he was asked about his leg and his response was sore. He gives it a smile. He tries to make the best of it. I guess the good news would be that he teed off late yesterday on Thursday, and he's also teeing off later. It's not late, but he's teeing off not until after lunch on Friday, which means he has a little more time to try to get some treatment and to feel better before he goes out there and walks around number four. But yeah, it was an opportunity for a lot of different guys to go low. You saw a bunch of red numbers, and he knows he missed a chance.
Well, I feel like I drove it good. I just didn't do the job I needed to do to get the ball close. Today was the opportune time to get the ball, get the round under par, and I didn't do that today. Most of the guys are going low today. This was the day to do it. Hopefully tomorrow I'll be a little bit better, a little bit sharper, and kind of inch my way through it. I mean, this is going to be an interesting finish to the tournament with the weather coming in. If I can just kind of hang in there, maybe kind of inch my way back, hopefully it'll be, you know, positive towards the end.
Tiger is sitting at +2. Rory McIlroy is even, obviously talking about the fact that there's a lot of time left. There's a lot of real estate to go. You've got a three-way tie for first, and Brooks Koepka is right up top. Now, I said I would only tell the story once. I'm going to tell it again because I feel like people need to know. Koepka drops this bombshell after his round in which he indicates that he's completely healthy and then gives us a peek behind the curtain of what was happening 2 years ago. Jay, any chance you found that audio? Or do I just need to tell the story again? Okay, I'm going to tell the story again. I'm going to tell you the juicy parts because I'm telling you, this is a bombshell. 2 years ago in 2021, he was 2 weeks off surgery. He played, he missed the cut. He didn't look anything like himself. Year after, still not feeling himself and missed the cut again. So this is his first year back in which he feels like he's completely healthy. But it was a mishap in his home in spring of 21 in which he somehow fell, dislocated, and shattered his kneecap. And then, for some reason, maybe feeling like, oh, well, it's dislocated, I need to get it back in, or I don't know, he just couldn't stand the sight of it. He said his foot was pointed the wrong direction.
Not ideal.
Definitely not ideal. And he pops it back in. Something you would do on the battlefield, for heaven's sakes. You hear these stories about men and women who are serving overseas. They got to do what they got to do in the field. But he's in his home. He decides to be a badass, or as Jay says, is he tough or stupid? He decides to pop it back in himself. And in doing so, tears knee ligaments. Oh, this is what he chose to share with us post-round. He's just fired off a -7. He's feeling himself. He's all in his bag. He's very excited. Like actual golf bag, but not really. You know what I mean? And he decides to tell people. So 2 years ago, I had surgery. I dislocated my kneecap. My foot was pointing the wrong direction. I thought I could get it back in there myself, so I did, and then I tore knee ligaments. Ouch. Anyway, Brooks Koepka is clearly tougher than most of us, but also, if he had just called 911, it wouldn't be nearly as bad. 2 years later, 3 birdies in his last 4 holes. He hits most of his fairways. He's crushing it. So be aware of Brooks Koepka. It takes a dislocated kneecap and a foot pointing in the wrong direction to get him to miss the cut. Okay, I'm afraid to ask what you two are doing in there. Why are you laughing so hard, Manny?
Well, I just wanted to hear a drop that maybe, you know, I could use, and it just caught me by surprise about how funny it is.
And would you like to share with the rest of us? Or no?
Yank! Ow! I hit my arm. Oh!
Well, it was far worse than that, but yes, it is along those lines. Injured in the line of duty. Except Brooks Koepka didn't tell us. I haven't seen it. Maybe he did reveal it, but I haven't seen it or heard it. in which he indicated what he was doing at his home when he fell, dislocated his kneecap, had the foot pointing in a different direction. This is not a finger that's dislocated pointing in the wrong direction, though that would hurt too. It's a knee and a kneecap, and he just pops it back in.
No problem.
Well, it was a problem because he tore knee ligaments, but OMG, I don't even say that. So welcome back, Brooks Koepka. That's exciting. All right, let's see. Coming up, not only did we hear from Tiger Woods, it was brilliant for our Friday morning. Jay and I decided that we wanted to only use football audio that was goofy, right? So think Tyreek Hill trash-talking the Chiefs in April after they've just won a Super Bowl. Brilliant. It's a brilliant strategy. Think Eli Manning telling us funny stories about, well, telling us. He was telling the Pat McAfee Show funny stories about Peyton and how he prepares for the Monday Night Manning show. And we got a little more that we'll drop in there. The stories that we have on this edition of the show are not serious, not meant to be taken seriously, but that was kind of our Friday vibe. So we've got Friday vibes going on here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
This is what I want inside the building. I want the head coach to know that on Sundays that defenses fear Tyreek Hill. That's what I want the head coach to know. And the head coach do know that, though. He know that. He know that without the cheater on the field, he know that, hey, Pat, you're going to have a long day today. You know what I'm saying?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Remember when it's no longer a Thursday, but we could have done a TBT on that. Remember when Tyreek Hill chose to go to the Miami Dolphins? Good for him. He had a huge season, 1,700 yards. But he was so sure on the It Needed to Be Said podcast that the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, and the offense would suffer mightily from his departure.
Who the fuck is that guy?
I didn't say it. I did not say it. I'm trying to be serious here, and you too. So Tyreek Hill was wrong. I think it's fairly obvious now that Tyreek Hill was wrong. Did he have a great season? Yes. Would the Dolphins have been in a better spot if they didn't use three different quarterbacks and have essentially a revolving door? Yes. It didn't work out the way that they planned, though they did make the postseason. But yeah, of course it would have been better with one starting quarterback with Tua the whole time. But that has nothing to do with the Chiefs. Great. So he moved on. He had a monster season. He helped me win my fantasy football championship. Thank you, Tyreek Hill. But that has nothing to do with the Chiefs because the Chiefs didn't suffer at all. As in, not even a little bit. They still won the AFC West. They had the top seed in the AFC. They hosted. Patrick Mahomes still has not played a playoff game other than the Super Bowls away from Arrowhead Stadium. And for good measure, he set a brand new record for most yards from scrimmage in a single season.
I don't know.
It's Kermit the Frog here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. So what else? Oh, well, they won the Super Bowl. And just to add insult to injury, in the Super Bowl, three first-time Chiefs had touchdowns. Two rookies, and then Kadarius Toney, who came over in a trade. So tell me again how much they're going to miss you. Now, just as a caveat, Tyreek Hill's funny. He says a lot of goofy stuff. He likes to talk trash. And I do, kind of building on the whole Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark thing, I don't have any problem. It wasn't my style, but I don't have any problem with others talking trash. Steph Curry he doesn't necessarily talk trash at people, but he definitely throws the smack and the gestures out there. A lot of the best players do. Larry Bird, all-time favorite basketball player. He was a trash talker extraordinaire. So I have no problems with other people doing it. I'm not criticizing. I think Tyreek Hill is funny. But I also think it's maybe ill-timed to go on a Kansas City radio station and start talking smack about how you can't wait for the Dolphins and Chiefs to match up next season.
Chiefs Kingdom, when the Miami Dolphins come to Arrowhead Stadium this year, guess what we gonna do? I hate to throw up the peace sign against y'all. I hate to do it. But guess what? I'm going to be y'all worst enemy that day.
We'll
you better change
that.
The signals. I know every signal y'all got.
All right. Let's break this down for a second. It's April. It's April. Not even 2 months after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. It's April. Meaning these Chiefs are probably still taking some time off. Maybe they've gotten back into individual workouts. They're not thinking about football. They don't need to. They're the defending champs. Also, wouldn't it be fantastic if they waited until the Dolphins came to town to do their ring ceremony? They won't, of course, because they've got plans for that, but it would be sort of humorous. Tyreek Hill's on a sports radio station in Kansas City. Sports Radio 810 WHB in KC. He's got to be entertaining. Got to talk the smack. It's just so comical. Because he does it on the heels of his former team winning a Super Bowl without him and not missing a beat at all. So, you know, there's something to be said for timing. This is not perfect timing. But he does crack me up. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Same in interview in which he indicated that after his current contract runs out, he will end up saying, well, speaking of the peace sign, peace out. He'll be peace out. And he'll be done with football because he wants to get into business after 10 years. All right, here's another fun one. We know the Kelseys are good for laughs here or there. The last time we heard from Jason and Travis Kelce, I don't know if this is a problem. Maybe it's a lack of show prep on my part. I can't listen to this podcast if it's not in season. It's just like I wouldn't listen to the Tom Brady, Jim Gray podcast if it's not in season. I can't do it. It's called Let's Go, but I wouldn't listen to it out of season.
Yeah, see, Tom Brady puts his on a hiatus, so he stops in the off season. But the Kelseys, I mean, they seem it's new, so I guess they're still trying to figure out everything that they're doing.
Remember,
but
they're probably getting paid to do it. Yeah, they've got some sponsors.
They keep putting it out every week, and they put out clips, and they put out all these videos that circle around. That's how I saw it.
September. I'll listen again in September because I did discover this year as part of my football coverage that I spent hours every week listening to podcasts. It's great. You get this incredible access. You get personal accounts of moments that happen on the field, interactions with other players and coaches, blah, blah, blah. It's almost like NFL films, but it's podcasts. You're so close to the action when these guys are giving you their own personal versions of what happened.
It's like a behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's amazing. But I can't do it out of season. I cannot spend 5 hours a week on podcasts from NFL players out of season.
That's Cincy.
So the last time we saw the Kelce brothers, it was actually a clip they put in video form. They do their show with video. It was Jason Kelce asking his little brother Travis to name all of the coaches in the NFL, the annual photo. Not only could Travis not name them, he couldn't even figure out who half of them coached for.
Who the fuck is that guy?
See what I mean? And so now, and just as a side note, one of them was Shane Steichen. So actually both weren't both the former Eagles coordinators who are now head coaches improperly or not identified at all by Travis Kelce? He had no idea who they were because Jason said, those are my coordinators. And he had no idea who they were. I suppose that would be the reason why Shane Steichen was a guest on the New Heights podcast, Shane being the new head coach of the Colts. Now, we don't have all of that interaction. I'm sure it was hysterical, the three of them going back and forth. And obviously, Jason was going to make sure Shane knew about what had happened. Instead, we get this. On the New Heights podcast, Shane Steichen apparently got screwed, that's his word, not mine, by Bob Barker on The Price is Right.
I was graduating high school.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing. Help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.
buddy said, hey, let's go down to the Price is Right. So I'm sitting down there and they start the show and we're all sitting in the back. There's 10 of us and, you know, first contestant, come on down. And then, you know, I was the second contestant. They said, hey, Shane Steichen.
Steichen.
They hit me with the Steichen. Come on down. And I was like, heck yeah.
Close enough, man. I'm coming down.
And so I get on contestants row and I'm like, I'm going to be the last one to bid because already three people went up. There's four people on contestants row.
And that's a good position to be in. Last to bid is good.
So he's going down the list and people are yelling behind, hey, 400, no, 600, 1 million. I'm like, 1 million? It's a tennis ball machine. You know, we're going through it, whatever. And he's like, hey, Shane, it's your bid. And I'm looking back and I'm like, it's his bid. And the guy was like, yeah, it's my turn. He's like, it's your bid. I'm like, no, I'm fourth.
So you were supposed to be last and he called on you third.
Yeah, because I was just in that order, you know, because we don't switch spots. So he calls me out and I'm like, hold on, wait, what did they bid?
All thrown off.
And so he's like, all right, he bid 400. This guy bid 425. What's your bid? And I'm like, shoot, I'm, you know, 18 years old kid. I'm like, 426. Yeah. And the guy next to me is like, 427. Like retail price, 450. Yeah. And then that guy goes up there and wins. But I never made it on the stage. I was just on the contestants row. But I got some luggage and I got a baker's rack for being a contestant on the show. It was a fun experience.
Do you still have the luggage?
My mom does.
Are you kidding me?
It's a red Beverly Hills luggage bag and it's ripped, but she still uses it. That's 20 years.
20 years?
20 years plus.
How about that, Beverly Hills?
How about that?
See, this is the reason why I feel like, oh no, I'm missing stuff if I don't listen to the podcast. Shane Steichen, when he was in high school, has a Price is Right story. I have no game show stories. Anyone else here have a game show story? We know that Aaron Rodgers was on Jeopardy. There are people out there who've got game show experience, but I have no game show experience. Other than when I'll tell you this, when I was in high school in New Hampshire, we had a game show that was just New Hampshire high school students. It was one of those public access channels, but it was a big deal in New Hampshire. So I was the captain of our team when I was a senior, and we made three, if I remember correctly, three appearances. We won two rounds and we were brought back for a third. And I still have photos. There were two of us. It was me and my best friend. She and I were valedictorian, salutatorian. And then there were two guys who were also extremely smart, kind of nerdy, but you know what? I like nerds. And we were on the show and we have a photo of how we got dressed up because we were on TV. Public access TV, we were dressed to the hilt. It was my claim to fame. That was it. That was the height of my fame. I mean,
it's impressive.
I was the captain.
You led the team to victory twice. It's a good captain.
It was one of those shows where it's similar to, say, a Family Feud, where you're standing along a desk and you have to hit the buzzer, right? Well, I guess they don't have to hit a buzzer. They hit the buzzer up front. But kind of the idea is you have to smack a buzzer and you weigh in first and have to answer. And yeah, we won two rounds.
Do you remember the winning answer?
That's a long time ago. No, but I do have a photo that somehow my best friend managed to find. I can't believe it. We were so little. We were babies. Oh my gosh. But it was fun. That was my TV debut. It was a big deal in New Hampshire, let me just tell you. I wish I could remember the name of the show. Granite State Challenge, maybe Granite State, something like that. I'll have to look
it up. Can I find it on YouTube?
No, this is pre-YouTube. Thank heavens. I think of that very frequently. Thank goodness there was no social media when I was a kid. There was no YouTube. And also, there are no tapes of the god-awful radio shows I did when I first started. Thankfully, there's no evidence of that. None.
Burned? Even though I'm sure they were great.
There wasn't any. They didn't keep digital records.
Oh, really? No archive?
No. Well, there might have been for big events.
Yeah.
Like, say, I worked for a station that carried Buffalo Bills football, so they would tape the games because they wanted to go back and have highlights. But for a regular radio show, nobody taped it.
Huh.
It's fantastic.
Wow.
None of the evidence exists.
On the cutting room floor, as they say.
As far as anybody else knows, I've always been this good.
Uncharacteristic of how we've practiced in training camp, obviously how I played over.
Manny, what was that?
A little, my finger slipped. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I couldn't say it with a straight face anyway. I haven't always been this good. And this show, we're going to burn the archive.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
As of this show.
No, they're alive.
They're alive. They're alive and they're coming for you.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to you for a long time. I love your insight.
What's up, baby?
What up?
First time, long time.
Awesome, thank you.
Amy, good morning. Thanks for always taking my call. I really appreciate it. You and your staff are very accommodating.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for taking the time for my call.
Long time listener, first time caller. First one to say, love your show.
I am an Amy fan.
Very creative, Kai.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. With somebody who loves me. Oh, I want to dance with somebody. I want to feel the heat. Yeah,
oh, it's Friday. It feels like a good day to be dancing. Friday of a holiday weekend. A lot of people are already off. It's spring break for a lot of people. It's just spring in general in a lot of places that haven't had spring yet. Although I will say there are many of you who've reached out this week have indicated because I posted pictures of my flowers. I've got daffodils everywhere, a little bit of yard work today because who doesn't want to do yard work on a Friday? A lot of you have reached out and said, wait a minute, we still have snow. Wait a minute. We don't have anything up out of the ground yet. And friends of mine in New Hampshire, they still don't have their daffodils up either. But crocuses are the first. It's early April. Crocuses show up in my neighborhood in February. So I'm glad. I'm glad that there are flowers everywhere. I'm happy about spring now. I feel for those of you who are still waiting. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We know that we're about to get hot and heavy in sports, right? So Masters weekend, UFC this weekend. It's the last weekend of the NBA season. Still so much to be decided. It's the last week plus of the NHL regular season. So we've got play-in tournament in NBA. Then you've got both hoops and hockey playoffs. We know baseball in full swing, though. I find it hard to get really agitated about anything happening in baseball this early because anything can and will happen. But what seems to be a common theme right now is pitchers on the IL. That's what seems to be happening over and over again. And also, I'm thinking this is going to be a theme. Fernando Tatis hearing about being a cheater. Every single time that he goes yard, either the fans are going to pick up on it, and probably, I would say, once he gets to the majors, the fans are, in fact, going to be calling him that. Remember what happened with the Astros? Everywhere they went post-2017, everywhere they went in a hostile environment or another stadium, they had to hear about being cheaters and the signs and everything else. So I wouldn't be surprised, especially if the Padres are good this year and Tatis has a hot start out of the gate. Yeah, he's going to be facing a lot of not only heckling, a lot of vitriol from the stands, but I would say there's probably going to be players who bring it up as well. Maybe they don't like giving up a home run to him, and that's what happened actually when he was doing his last AAA start. Not only did he get booed when he was rounding the bases, but one of the pitchers, a pitcher who gave up a homer to him, actually put some vitriol out there on social media and called him a cheater. Now, he did go back and delete it, but I mean, it's accurate, right? Is it accurate? Maybe he was told by his team to take it down. I'm not sure, but that's going to happen. So welcome back to baseball, Fernando Tatis. I dare say he's prepared for it, though, and he knows that that's what's going to happen. Again, I think the Astros were able to use it as fuel. Maybe Tatis can as well use it as fuel. And also a reminder that he screwed up. He had a year that brought him face-to-face with his own sports mortality. And the fact that even his own team was speaking out about, hey, we've been fine without him. He needs to grow up. When he grows up, when he makes better decisions, we'll welcome him back. But for now, we're going on without him. And maybe it stung a little bit extra even that they went to the NLCS without him, right? So I think this, I am interested to see how he grows up or how he's grown up in this space where he had the injury that obviously was, well, it was from activities he shouldn't have been engaging in, kept it from the team, surgery was the wrong time, all of that was completely botched. Then the cheating, the substances he shouldn't have had, and then his own team calling him out and saying, well, we don't want him here if this is what it's going to be like. And so I'm anxious to see how he turns this into a springboard moving forward and how much I love redemption stories on this show. I really do. Actually was asked by a recent college student that I was speaking to a class, and he was asking me, how do you prep? What types of information do you prep, or what do you look for when you prep? And I was telling him, you know, because of 2023 with every little bit of information you want being on your phone and a whole lot of information you don't want being on your phone, you don't need stats and figures a lot. Now, I use them to frame whatever it is that I'm talking about. Plus, I'm a stats nerd. So I do talk about stats a bunch, but you don't need them, right? So my themes very often revolve around history and the human emotion of what we're watching, and then also redemption. I love redemption stories. Will Fernando Tatis be 2023 redemption story in Major League Baseball? We shall see. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Actually, I guess you could ask the same thing about Kyler Murray, right? What a year he had. I mean, we're talking about going back to this time last year, the social media issues, the scrubbing, trying to tell us that that was just normal. Then his agent putting out this letter that blasts the franchise for not negotiating what they felt like was, you know, fair and above board, and they're lowballing us, they're undercutting us, my client's worth this, yada, yada, yada. They cave. The Cardinals give him the contract, only then to, remember the whole leak thing about there was language in the contract that he needed to spend X amount of time watching film?
It's too hard.
So then that gets taken out of the contract because it somehow goes public. The Cardinals don't have the hot start they did the year before. And on top of that, he gets hurt again. I mean, it's about as bad as Baker Mayfield's year. Let's be fair. If you'd be hard pressed to pick which of those, and I mean full calendar year, which of those years you would rather go through as a football player. I would say probably Kyler would be the choice because he got the money, but he's embarrassed and he's away from the team and he might not even be ready to start this season. Oh, and now his former GM is a free man. So this is Cardinals GM Steve Keim, who had his own share of trouble, let's be fair. He had a DUI, I think. He was away from the team. He got suspended. So there's all kinds of issues there, too. But he was recently doing the Greenlight podcast with Chris Long, and he shares his thoughts on the Cardinals franchise QB.
He's just a tremendous talent. I mean, he really is. The stuff he does, you see in practice and in some games, I mean, he's just off the charts. I think it's just putting it together and playing consistent football for four quarters. You know, I think he still needs to grow. And, yeah. And it's not it's not slanting towards his character. He is not a bad guy. He's a really good kid, has a good smile, and has a nice way about him. I think it's like anything. Guys have to continue to learn what it's going to take to be great. You know, does he know what Peyton Manning and Tom Brady knows what it takes to be great? No. Does he work? He does work. I think it's just that side of the game, the film study, the attention to detail part that he can continue to improve upon, and I think he will. To me, in that area of watching film, studying the game, attention to detail, I think that's the area where he can vastly improve.
I wouldn't say that's unique to Kyler. It's just that he's a quarterback, and so very often those things get highlighted. Plus, the position is so competitive. And here's Steve Keim highlighting two of the best ever who pay attention to detail, who are meticulous in their preparation. But we hear these stories a lot. In fact, I remember Tua's first season. I don't remember the context that was in, but in Tua's first season, he admitted publicly to the media that he didn't know the whole playbook, that he was still learning it and still figuring it out. So there are a lot of guys who come into the NFL who maybe don't have the predisposition to work their arses off. Maybe they were such natural talents that at previous levels, they didn't have to work. And then they come in and they think, all right, I'm good. I'm just naturally gifted. Well, everyone in the NFL is naturally gifted. But most of them. Most of them are incredible athletes. Obviously, world-class athletes with all of the resources that you could possibly need. And so you, at the quarterback position specifically, because life comes at you fast at the quarterback position, you're among the first to get blamed when things go wrong, whether or not it's your fault. And you know the pressure NFL owners put on coaches. Coaches have that, general managers and coaches. How often do we see quarterbacks change? And so with Kyler and the quarterback position, to have now someone else come out and say he needs to pay more attention. Now, Steve's not ripping him. I appreciate that. He's essentially saying he just needs to bear down. He needs to take this extremely seriously if he's going to make a difference. Do we have room for the DeAndre Hopkins? So, yes. Yes, yes, yes. So DeAndre Hopkins reportedly on the trade block in Arizona. But what could this actually look like, a trade for D-Hop?
Here's the problem. The problem is his current contract.
Yeah.
And, you know, with, I think it's $30 million in cap. I think it's $20 million in cash.
Yeah.
So those pose some serious problems to teams, particularly teams that probably have a quarterback and has taken up a large number of the cap itself.
Yeah.
So, you know, teams are going to have to be, number one, they're going to have to be creative. And I'm guessing the Cardinals are going to have to figure it out from the standpoint that a player of that magnitude, number one, I think he's 33 years old. Two, the contract.
So old.
And you think to yourself, he's been hurt the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to have to come to understand that they're probably not going to get as much as they would if he was a younger player or his contract was considerably lower.
I feel like those are challenges that the Jets and Packers are now working through as well, actually. There are a lot of benefits to being a highly touted and highly paid player, but there are also some challenges, especially when you get to be that ripe old age of 33. Or, oh my goodness, Aaron Rodgers is 39. Can't believe it. So over the hill. Thank you for all of your tweets about vacation. Now they're coming in. And also, I want to say thank you again for your kind words about my Grammy Helen, marking her birthday yesterday, spending a little time talking about her with family and some friends and reading the reading the blog that I wrote a year ago after she celebrated her 100th birthday and had just the time of her life. So it was good to relive that as hard as it was, through some tears, but I'm so glad I had that moment with her. And I love that so many of you miss Grammy Helen's stories. Thank you for sharing that with me. I am out all next week, actually. Got Syracuse class, got a trip to Arizona. I will post pictures on social so you can find me there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!